Welcome to the Weekly Fix, Asia Society's podcast featuring the latest headlines out of Asia and expert commentary you can only get here. I'm Alex Farbstein. It's Tuesday, October 21st. In today's podcast, we're going to be talking about China, where China stands in the global economic crisis, what we might see from its recently announced land reforms, and how it's been treated in the U.S. presidential elections. I'm here now with Susan Shirk. Susan is an Arthur Ross Fellow here at Asia Society in the U.S.-China Center, and was formerly the Deputy Assistant Secretary of State for East Asia and Pacific Affairs. So, Susan, on Monday, China announced that economic growth slowed to 9%, down from 10.1% in the previous quarter. Some economists are even predicting growth next year may be as low as 8%. What does this mean for China and the global economy?
Well, 8% growth is still pretty substantial. So I think we have every reason to expect slower growth. But if China can hold its growth at 7 or 8%, which I think it probably can, then that's still pretty robust demand to help spur recovery in the global economy. On the other hand, as one commentator noted, I don't think we can count on Chinese growth for getting us out of the hole we're in.
Well, speaking of the hole we're in, how has China fared in the global credit crunch?
Well, it's buffered because its economy, because it doesn't have full convertibility of its currency, because it doesn't use the same sophisticated financial instruments that the rest of the world uses. And in some ways, that's been a protection for China. Still, it's bound to be impacted. We already see that it is. But just as after the Asian financial crisis, it was affected less than other countries, I think the same will be true here.
Also, on Monday, Beijing approved a major rural land reform. What's changed, and do you think it'll benefit the farmers?
Well, we have to see if it's going to be implemented by local officials. It's not quite as revolutionary as it sounds, because much of it is actually simply reaffirming decisions that had been made previously but not been implemented. So, and it doesn't give private ownership of land to the farmers, which some people had advocated. So it's a kind of compromise. It could be very significant, and it could help with the global economy if it stimulates consumption in China, because China still has very large proportion of its population living in the countryside. If incomes go up, they start buying more things. That could help compensate for softening of those export markets.
It's time now for Heard at Asia Society. Time Magazine's international editor, Michael Elliott, joined us in Hong Kong for a discussion about where Beijing and Washington stand in the midst of a U.S. presidential election. Here he is talking about the lack of China bashing in this year's race.
I think that's great. I mean, frankly, there was significant concern at the start of this presidential campaign that China would be a whipping boy, as it's been in the past, for presidential politics, and it genuinely hasn't happened. China was mentioned once in the vice presidential debate this morning, and actually mentioned in a way in which, you know, even friends of China would have to shrug their shoulders and said, you're right about that. I mean, Biden said, you know, China's building 3 coal-fired power plants a week or whatever it is, and that is contributing not just to terrible air quality in China, but it's actually contributing to terrible air quality in the west of the United States too. And you know what? He's right. But that point apart, the old policies of China bashing in terms of trade, in terms of taking American jobs and so on, that has been almost completely absent from this presidential campaign. There's 34 days to go, but you have to say that so far it's been just about completely absent.
Do you have any sense, again, going back to the difference in approaches of the two candidates, how either would approach the relationship with China?
Well, Obama is truly an untested phenomenon in this regard. He has extremely good, extremely large team of foreign policy advisors, many of whom have Asian experience. But he's honestly said very little about relations with Asia. The main focus of his foreign policy pronouncements have been on the arc of crisis, have been on Iraq, Pakistan, Afghanistan. John McCain has a much longer and deeper experience of engagement in Asia, knows China well, has met the leadership, I'm sure, many times, of course, was a true leader on reestablishing normal relations with Vietnam, if you remember, 10 years ago. loves Hong Kong, incidentally. I mean, I remember talking to him just a year ago, or a couple of years ago when I was still here, and he said, God, I love Hong Kong. Yeah. So a man who has a deeper, longer and deeper knowledge of Asia than Obama has. I've heard it said, I don't know whether, I can't say that I honestly know this, but I've heard it said that McCain actually cares personally and passionately about human rights in China, and that will sort of be part of his presentation of himself, if you like, on Chinese policy. But he's an experienced hand at Asia, and I think recognizes, as everyone does, the importance on a deep and relatively friendly relationship between Beijing and Washington.
It's time now to hear about what's going on at Asia Society around the world. I'm here with my colleague Ashley Eiler, and Ashley, tell us what's going on.
Well, on Wednesday in Washington, D.C., we have a morning event called the Evolving Relationship Between Pakistan's Civilian Government and the Military. As you probably know, for most of Pakistan's history, the government has been ruled by the military, has been dominated by the military. Pervez Musharraf, he was a retired general and he just resigned not so long ago. Now they have a civilian government. So things are changing and it's an interesting process. At the same time, Pakistan's been going through a lot of crazy stuff. There's increasing violence from an insurgency. Their economy is not doing very well. They just had that huge bombing at the Marriott Hotel in Islamabad. And then the U.S. is pressuring them about, terrorism along the border with Afghanistan. They got a lot going on over there. So this program's really looking at how this new civilian government and the military establishment are going to work together to solve these problems. It should be really exciting.
Great. So, Ashley, tell us what else is going on.
Well, we have an event on Thursday in Hong Kong. It is a film screening for the documentary My Beijing Birthday, and it's going to be followed by a discussion with the film director, Howie Schneider. And I'm telling you, you guys are going to want to talk to this guy at the end of the event. This is kind of a bizarrely intriguing movie. It's about this guy who studied, it's about Howie Schneider and how he studied in China. Stand-up comedy, and he studied with a group of 8-year-olds in 1996. Okay, so get your head around that. And then 12 years later, he goes back and talks to the same group, and they talk about how their lives have changed, and their hopes for the future and things like that. It's a really intriguing opportunity to look at a generation in China that's known as New Little Emperors. And this is a group that grew up without brothers and sisters. They've grown up among, amidst the most the craziest economic growth the world has ever seen. And so these kids have got a lot of interesting influences on them. And what the film kind of comes to, it sounds like, is that these particular Beijingers are very similar to the director Howie's native New Yorkers, rough on the outside and yet tender on the inside. Howie Schneider has actually lived in throughout Asia for the last 25 years, so he brings an interesting perspective to the film as well. It's on October 23rd at 7 p.m. in Hong Kong, and if you miss it then, you can try to catch it in New York in late January. Just check our website for the date and time.
And like Ashley said, you can check out our website, asiasociety.org, for more news, information, and resources. I'm Alex Farbstein. Join us next Tuesday for the Weekly Fix.